Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinkingbros. That is hims.com/drinkingbros for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinkingbros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Oh, man.
No.
Hans Zimmer, Dan. That is Hans Xanthony Zimmer.
Do you think
that his middle name is Xanthony?
I did, yeah. It's weird. It's always weirded me out. Do you think
Hard Z.
there's any chance that he will, like those former dudes from the Matrix series, will transition at some point.
Can we use the politically correct term of transition, Dan?
Yeah, you don't want
to
use...
into a female. I'm not sure. How old is Hans Zimmer, fake Dan? If you could look up Hans Zimmer's age, I'm going to say he's 83. And I'm also going to say we've probably asked this question maybe 38,000 times before. I've got a question for you here since we're starting the fake
news. He is 63 years old.
He's got plenty of time.
Plenty of time to transition.
That show that Jeffrey Tambor did? Transparent, right?
Yeah, Transparent. Yeah. And the irony of that was he got fired for groping a female stylist on that show.
You not allowed to do that once you transition? I mean, what's the fucking point?
Well, he was in character. So that was my thing of like, hey, man, it was technically a woman, you know, as a man who was groping another woman. What's the rules behind that?
I don't know.
Apparently, they still recognize you as an actor, and it is frowned upon.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed it?
I mean, what's the point at that point?
Welcome, kids. We're in the middle of it, aren't we? We're in the middle of the stink, the belly of the beast. We're 2.5 weeks out from election, and Hunter Biden and Donald Trump Jr. are having a contest of who can take the best I'm divorced pictures. And the winner is ding, 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 Hunter Biden.
Wait, Hunter Biden and who else?
DJ TJ.
What was Trump's version of that?
Well, we all have friends who are divorced, right? When you get divorced, you immediately go on some crazy workout thing.
Right.
Start smoking cigarettes again, and you take pictures of yourself shirtless, like you're living your best life ever, and you're really tan, right?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know if tan's the right word for old Donnie T, but...
He's tan. DJ TJ's, he's tan.
Is that his skin or is that some kind of makeup?
Who knows? No one knows. But what I will say is this. After the New York Post leak yesterday, because what happened was they got a hard drive. So they got all the goodies on there. There was a photo of him with a crack pipe hanging out of his mouth. Did you see that pic?
I sure did, yeah. Sure did. It's hard to look. There's a lot of things you can explain. You can claim that your Twitter got hacked, like the Scully guys claiming from C-SPAN. You can claim that you were taken out of context, maybe that you misspoke, but you cannot make a whole lot of empirical claims to deny the fact that there's a crack pipe hanging out of your mouth while a prostitute is milking your hog.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. But I will say this. Out of the two divorced photos, Hunter Biden looks like he was having a blast.
Yeah.
An absolute blast.
He definitely wasn't having a bad... I mean, I don't know if a blast is how it characterized being addicted to crack cocaine.
Who took the picture?
Probably the other hooker, I would imagine.
The prostitute?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I doubt there was just one. If you're that wealthy... You're that guy, right? You grew up in that household, and you decided to still go that route. I don't think you're stopping at one prosty. I feel like you got to go two or three.
Easy.
Especially if you're bringing out a crack pipe.
Easy. You go two or three.
And also the kind of prostitute that would allow one of their Johns, to use the parlance of their trade, to smoke crack in front of them probably doesn't charge a whole lot of money, so he's probably getting a good deal on it, right? I doubt that the high-class prostitutes are like, they show up with a drug kit for sure. I've heard this. I've seen it on television, so I believe it's true. That they will like, hey, you want to fucking hear some coke or whatever the fuck else, right?
Yeah.
Just party favors or whatever. I doubt they ever pull out a crack pipe unless it's like in a Motel 6.
The high-class prosties, they call him Jonathans. So if you could refer to him as a Jonathan, that would be great. Go by his full name. He's earned it, I feel like, at this point. The guy has millions, if not $1 billion, Hunter Biden. Where do we start with this one, Dan? There's just so much to unpack here with this story. Do you mind if we start with the New York Post being banned, the article being banned from Facebook and Twitter?
That's kind of a big deal. Let's give everybody some context first about what all this was. So Hunter Biden's email account is definitely something, to your point, that the left has been trying to suppress for a very long time now.
Yes.
Kind of like, I mean, they have a... they have problems with emails over there, apparently. I mean,
as do I, though.
Yeah,
as
the narrative thus far has pretty much been that Trump is unfairly attacking a family member, and Biden's tried to play every card he can. Oh, that's my family. Oh, he had a drug addiction, like trying to play on some sympathy for this guy.
Sure.
And he's also pretty much said this entire time for over a year now that he had never discussed the private business dealings that his son had with him, or that his brother had, or any of that other shit. Now, it turns out, according to this email, which is absolutely real, the number three guy at that Burisma company that you've all heard of at this point, apparently, man, he had asked Hunter Biden at some point, just months after they first picked him up, like, how can you use your influence to stop this shit? We're a good company. We're not trying to do anything wrong. Can't you use your influence to fucking blah, blah, blah? And apparently, Hunter's response to that was to set up a meeting with that guy and Joe Biden in D.C. So that's the fact that he's been lying about it for that long is probably not a good thing for him.
No, not a good thing. But am I surprised? No. You know, and with the Hunter Biden bullshit as a whole, like if Joe wasn't attached to it, everybody's got one of those fucked up family members where you're just like, all right, just give him a job overseas so I never have to see him again. He can make $1 million and live off my name. And it's a tale as old as time.
Right. So I'm sure everybody out there at this point knows the basics. So I'm just going to recap the timeline of everything that happened.
Sure.
At least from what we know right now.
Yeah.
So Hunter Biden becomes a board member of Burisma in early 2014. In newly discovered emails, this Pozharsky or whatever, I don't know how to say his name, the number three guy Burisma sent him an email in May of 2014 asking for, quote, advice on how you, Hunter, could use your influence, end quote, on the company's behalf. And you can look that email up on the internet. It's pretty easy to find. And then in April 2015, this guy sent Hunter an email thanking him for introducing him to Joe Biden in person.
Okay.
Like, thanks for the meeting, basically, with your dad. Then in December 2015, that's when Biden was in Ukraine and demanded that prosecutor Shokin, who was investigating his son and Burisma, to be fired, or he would withhold the $1 billion loan the U.S. promised to the Ukrainian government. Shokin said that at the time of his firing in March 2016, he had made, quote unquote, specific plans to investigate Burisma that, quote, included interrogations and other crime investigations. Investigative procedures into all members of the executive board, including Hunter Biden. Man. And I think we all remember Biden on stage at that town hall where he says, I said, you're not getting the billion. I looked at them and said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting any money. And then he said, well, son of a bitch, you got fired.
Yeah.
So to recap, Hunter Biden got a job with a foreign oil company that is apparently rife with corruption, as is the government over there. The first thing that happens after joining the board, at least publicly, or that's public now, is that they ask him to use his influence, which is code for your father's influence, to assist with their issues with corruption being investigated by the Shokin guy. By the way, the Obama administration also had a pending case against Burisma. They were doing the initial investigative part to start a major investigation against this company.
No.
But they didn't for some reason. I can't imagine why they didn't.
I can't think of why it didn't go further. I'm having trouble with it.
And then Hunter, again, in later that year, introduces Biden to this guy, the number three guy. Then Biden threatens to withhold a $1 billion loan if the prosecutor investigating his son and his son's company doesn't get fired.
Yeah.
That is not in any way an analysis of the situation. Those are just the facts of the case. You do your own analysis.
So here's my own analysis, right? Hunter Biden parties. He parties. And he parties hard with $1 billion, crack rocks, and prosties. And, you know, I'm going to turn a blind eye to this one.
The really stupid thing about all this, aside from just, I mean, the asinine nature of Biden thinking he could lie and get away with it about this, is how the left has tried to reframe this narrative to suggest that there was quid pro quo between President Zelensky and President Trump.
Sure.
Somehow, which turned out not to be true. I mean, the Wall Street Journal just put out a pretty good investigative piece last week that shows that there's no credibility to that at all. it's
You remember when DJ TJ, who I affectionately called at the top of the show, he got in a little bit of hot water in 2016 for meeting with that Russian lawyer, that chick, you know, tried to get some dirt on Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. They went after him hard. So the biggest issue I have with this is, if you're going to go after DJ TJ the same way as you're going after Hunter here, right, let's even the playing field on this and really go hard in the fucking paint on this.
Well, I fully expect the Democrats to try to defend this, because that's what binary politics is. It pins you in to this absolute nonsense. But honestly, I didn't expect, maybe I'm foolish for this, maybe I'm naive still after all this, but I didn't expect that that social media would go so obviously try to block this very clearly true information from coming out. Like, there is no
in the New York Post, by the way, which is a reputable newspaper.
The New York
newspaper.
Post is it's kind of a rag, let's be honest, but so is every other newspaper these days.
Yeah, but I mean,
like, I trust them as much as I do anybody else.
Yeah, I trust them as much as USA Today, for Christ's sake.
Sure. Yeah. And the fact that they this is technological warfare at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, these major companies are suppressing true information. That's a problem, obviously.
Yes.
And Jack Dorsey admitted as much. Like, the fact that they suppressed it without any real reason to do so, basically is his words, is a problem, right? And it's a bigger problem than we're prepared to deal with right now. I don't know what we do about this.
Like, yeah, my thing was this. On Facebook last night, anything with Hunter Biden, truthfully, I dismiss. Mm. She's just a fucking loser, and I don't care, really.
I don't care what he's doing either.
I also don't care what people's kids are doing for an election. He's not working for the White House, so therefore I really don't give a shit about Hunter Biden, to be fucking frank with you. But when I started to take notice of this last night was when I saw, like, housewives of people that I went to high school with who were sharing this article, and they were like, you can't read it, it's blocked, and they were freaking out, and I was like, oh shit, we finally hit, like, middle America censorship, where we don't seem like the crazy ones anymore. Yeah, right? Because I remember, you know, starting this show when Alex Jones was going through his shit, you hear about it and you're like, oh, how bad is censorship? And then you're like, maybe it's that one thing. And then it's something else, and then it's something else. As we've gone along in all these years of the show, I think we're heading into our sixth year of the show here. It's one of those things where you're like, not only is this real, but now it's starting to hit, like, normal people who are just trying to share an article from the New York Post.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of analogous to Dave Chappelle, that stand-up he did way back early in his career with in D.C. It was a good, really good show.
Yeah.
He talked about how white people finally realized that the cops in South Central just beating the Christ out of black dudes all the time. Yeah. He's like, it looks like they're beating up Negroes like hotcakes out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's kind of been going on. And finally people realize, like, oh shit. And I think it's the same thing that happened with the gay also. Like, people started coming out and people were like, oh, my fucking best friend or my neighbor or my fucking kid or my cousin or somebody's gay. Like,
right.
Like, you established, these people just had this such a fucking ignorant viewpoint on it, they finally established, like, oh, it's just a human being that likes to suck dicks or whatever. And it became not a thing anymore. It's kind of how human beings come to these revelations now. Clearly, people are starting to wake up a little bit to this stuff, and that's why Kurt McGirt was fucking texting me this morning. I never had him back, but he said something pretty funny about how the polls are clearly fucked. And I'm like, one of the hardest things to measure is like voter enthusiasm and sentimentality. You know what I mean? Those are hard things to measure. It's why these polls are always wrong. I think he's right. Now, the more I see the threat of another lockdown coming from some of these governors, and they've been pretty good about not saying it out loud too much, but they're alluding to it behind the scenes and it's leaking pretty frequently. The more that happens, the more that people see the economy coming back, but not for them necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, the economy can't come back for somebody that just, one of the 60% of the 400,000 businesses lost, where they put all their life savings into it. Like, they need help now. So I think these people are fucking pissed off, honestly. And I think a pissed off voter votes more than a sentimental voter or a sad voter or any of that shit. Or, I mean, I really believe that. So I don't know, man. I'm very, very curious to see how this election turns out.
Same. And, like, it's normal people who you don't really think about, right? Today I just finished my taxes, filed an extension because of the move and all that other stuff, right? I just signed some paperwork in a back room. A woman takes me into the back room. Well, easy there, easy. She took me in the back room for my taxes to sign some paperwork. Not to give me an HJ, but that would have been nice, obviously. You never turn down a polite HJ. And she said, hey, listen to the show. You know, one of those, like, listen to the show. She goes, did you vote already? And I go, yeah. And she goes, this seems like the nicest, sweetest woman in the world. And she goes, I can't fucking wait to go in there and pull that lever for Trump tonight. And I was like, whoa. I was like, really? And she goes, oh, yeah. And then she goes, after that, I'm heading on a flight to Vegas. I'm going to go meet my husband, gamble, you know, whatever. And I was like, all right, sweet. Way to go. That's America right there. But it's a lot of those quiet backroom meetings with people. And I think that's going on all over the country with dinner parties and group gatherings and, you know, whatever, where it's just like, hey, so you're voting for Trump, right? But it's measured, whispered, and they've got to know who you are. And I think that's going to be the biggest shock of all of this. And when she finally opened up and I was talking to her, she goes, what's with the polling? Like, I don't understand the polling. And I was like, well, it's mostly landlines or whatever. And she goes, do you know they called my house for a poll? And she's like, I just hung up the phone on them. I don't want to deal with these fucking people. And I was like, that's kind of what most Trump voters do. So you're not going to get honest polls out of all of this shit. And right now, the interesting stat that I saw this morning before on the way into work was that the polls are identical, the numbers-wise, as Hillary and Biden was in 2016 on this exact day, the exact same time.
Yeah, this is the second time at a very key moment in the election that that's happened. So you remember about 45 days ago was the same?
Yeah, with Nate Silver, yeah. This was on this is a different poll, and it's same results, and they were like, well, should we be worried? Which will lead us into the next story of what is actually going on at CNN. I have a huge theory on this one. So look, man, if you're like us, we hate CNN. Obviously, we go hard against CNN all the time on this show. The last 5 days at CNN, though, it seems like they've taken a hard right. Wolf Blitzer challenged Nancy Pelosi. They got into a back and forth where her dentures almost came clean out of her mouth.
Here's the problem with that whole exchange. He wasn't trying to be a dick to her. He was trying to get her to say on TV exactly why she was doing what she was doing, which is,
correct,
well, people need more money. There's riders on the bill we don't like, or whatever the fuck it was. I don't know what her excuse. Her excuse was that, oh, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
she started. Yeah. She called Wolf Blitzer and CNN at large apologists for the Republicans. Now, how far left do you have to be where CNN looks Republican to you?
Pretty crazy.
A person like that that's in power somewhere should bother you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it didn't start there. Actually, it started earlier in the week when
Jake Tapper. Yeah.
Had Biden's like campaign
manager
campaign manager on. And he was like, Biden keeps saying that what Trump's trying to do is unconstitutional. That's not true. Why do you keep saying that? That's
he was referring to the Supreme Court justice. Yeah. Pick,
yeah, right? just to be clear, Trump having nominated in the Senate, when they confirm next week, Amy Coney Barrett, for which is going to happen next week.
Yes,
when that happens, that'll be completely constitutional. I don't know why that's even a question, or why they would use that kind of language. I mean, it takes away from your argument. Like, you can make the case that what they're saying now, their narrative now, is people have already started voting and it's so close election and blah 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 blah. Got it, right? But I don't agree with those arguments, but the fact that they're leaving the normal arguments on the table and is going hard means they know they've already lost. They're just trying to fucking... If you know you've lost that debate, there's no way to make yourself look good to the middle. You just try to fucking give your base something, like be a dick.
Yeah.
But I don't get why they're doing it now.
I don't either, because the next night was Monday nights, and that was the night of the Trump Florida rally, and it was packed. Right, people are going bug fuck, and CNN cut in to show the footage because Trump was out there, no mask, having just hulked up and beat COVID.
Right,
and they turned the volume down on the rally, obviously, and there was a strange look on Anderson Cooper's face. And he looked at the other panel, the two panelists, and he goes, "Hey, guys, is it me or does this feel very 2016 right now?" And the other two people were like, "Oh, no, no, no. This is totally different. And Hillary was unlikable and blah, 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 blah." But he was looking at this rally of thousands and thousands of people going nuts. And he was like, "This is Florida. This is the biggest swing state." Because one of the keys when you're when you guys are watching with us on November 3rd for the live election show is going to be that East Coast. And if Florida drops and Ohio drops, he only needs one or two more states, swing states, Michigan or Wisconsin, and it's fucking over, let alone if he gets Pennsylvania.
Right.
Like, that is good night, sweet Charlotte. We're all done here. And the fact that that many people had come out in support of the president, having just had COVID, what, 72 hours earlier, and none of those people were wearing masks in Florida, that's a cause for concern, I think, because you can't measure that. And again, we had Matt Gaetz on the show, and we were talking about, you know, his lead in the polls down there, Laura Loomer's lead in the polls down there. There's just no way that he doesn't get Florida, in my opinion. I just don't see it. And after the crowds that were coming out for him, it does look identical to 2016 again.
Yeah. And it's interesting coming from some of these guys. I mean, Wolf Blitzer is kind of a clown, to be honest. But he's not as bad as some of those other guys. He's not an Anderson Cooper. He's not a fucking Cuomo. He's definitely not a Don Lemon.
Right.
He's not even anywhere close. And
Don Lemon's just an actor, though.
Yeah, he's a tool. I don't know what he believes, to be honest. He's probably a libertarian, frankly.
Probably.
Wolf Blitzer's, you know, there was this old saying, like, if you lost somebody, who was it? The guy I hate so much, Cronkite. If you lose Cronkite, you lost America.
Right.
And some people have been repeating that this week. Like, if you lost Wolf Blitzer, you've lost America. Meaning, like, he's so, like, mild.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. You fucking piss that guy. You, like, attack that guy.
Yeah.
It's like kicking a fucking old fucking puppy. Like, somehow it's an elderly puppy and you're kicking it in the face. That's what it seemed like to me. And then, you know, the next day, I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
After that, I don't remember which senator it was. A Republican senator asked ACB who, like, about her notepad or whatever. She held it up. There was nothing on there. Mm-hmm. Dana Bash brought that up on CNN and was like, yeah, that's pretty impressive. I mean, everybody's got to admit that that's pretty impressive. And
she's a very, very sharp lady. And if it were any other president, I don't think anybody would have a problem with this nomination.
Here's what John King said, who has been very, very
vocal
rough on Trump the entire time he's been in office. He said that if you turn back the clock to the time before the if you turn back the clock a little bit and we weren't so close to the election, or if there were any other president, Amy Coney Barrett would be getting 70 plus votes from the Senate, and there's no question about that. Now, this guy said that on CNN.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, if it's just that people don't like Trump and that it's so close to the election, she would still get 70 votes, then why are we even having this conversation?
Because you have to. The hatred for Trump is so strong that it's got to be a part of every single decision and every single thought process that goes forward politically, and that's kind of what it is. Now, that being said,
with this hard right,
I have a theory about this. With this is the Hollywood in me, and bear with me here. I think the reason why CNN has taken a right is Jeff Zucker is the president of CNN. He used to be the president of NBC. When Donald Trump had The Apprentice on there.
Right.
And I think he realizes, I think there was some internal polling or meetings or ratings that they looked at and said, oh shit, if Biden wins, he's going to be a completely boring, useless, non-talkative president that will give very little speeches. You will get very little coverage. And what do you do with that news-wise? Because they have built their entire network the last 4 years on hatred towards Trump. If that all goes away, what do you have left to talk about every single day? And I think you're fucked as a network, and I think they're all out of jobs.
I mean,
and I'm not saying that facetiously, by the way.
No,
I genuinely believe that, and I think all of the news organizations are, except for Fox. And the reason why, if Biden wins, Fox can still rail on Biden all day long for 4 years, and their ratings will be through the roof, and people will love it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas these other networks are fucked. What is MSNBC going to say? What is CNN going to say? What is, you know, headline news and all that shit? What are they going to talk about every day if your guy wins that you've been railing against, you know, for forever of like, hey, man, we hate Trump. We hate Trump. We need Biden. We need Biden. Oh, shit. Biden's in. Now what?
Yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, I don't know if they're that smart, but if I'm CNN, I definitely don't want to be. I don't want to shift from a position of being able to shit talk Trump 24 hours a day and continue to push a narrative that all white Republicans are racist, regardless of any other factors or characteristics in their life,
right,
to a position where they have to constantly defend Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's socialist bullshit. You know what I mean? I think that's a bad look for them, honestly.
Yeah. It's one of those things, though, where, you know, as a media conglomerate, you have to look at the ratings and decide what is most important. When Matt was on a couple weeks ago, Matt Best, when he was on the show a couple weeks ago, he said something odd at the end of the interview, but it was super interesting. He goes, as a podcast host, ask me a tough question, a really fucking hard question that I would be forced to answer. And I was like, all right, owning a conservative coffee company, if Biden won, would that help your company and would that help you as a thing? And he was like, no, you know, I don't care and blah, 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 which is what you should say. And truthfully, I think he's right. Black Rifle Coffee is above all of that.
Yeah, they don't care.
However, there has been a lot of left businesses who have said to me, and right businesses, that said, hey, man, if the other guy wins, it is great for our business because then we can rail on the other side for 4 years and people will be with us. I think that's the case with CNN. They have to have him in there for another 4 years for all of that chaos, or you are out of news.
Yeah, but you've also got to, if you're going to fucking take a dive, you got to make it look fake. I mean, I don't know what their, what would be their strategy after Trump gets reelected. They're counting on the Democrats completely losing their minds, but then you have to associate yourself with that. So what do? Do they push back towards the middle and start saying, you know what, the Democrats have lost their minds. Now we're the only fucking trusted news source because we're in the middle. Fox is on the right and MSNBC is on the left. That's the play that I would make.
By the way, and that is my dream, because I still don't think we have a news source to go to that is strictly news, unbiased, everything else, where right. There was a time for me personally that I would go to CNN, and if Anderson Cooper was in the fucking eye of Katrina, I trusted it, I believed it, and, you know, the warnings and everything else that he gave me, I was like, all right, I'm all in, and I believe this guy. Now, clearly that changed over the years as politics started getting more and more aggressive, but I would like a trusted news source to go to. I just don't know who that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's me. Let's be real. All these people are full of shit. I actually think something that
it's just you.
Something that Milo Yiannopoulos said to us in what was it, November or December? I don't remember what it was. It was the first time, so it was October
okay.
of last year. Yeah. So he said something to the effect of that he thought the country, instead of a president, should be run by like a group of people who are so either wealthy or whatever, that they had no,
that's right, wealthy,
they,
yeah,
they had nothing yeah. vested in the day-to-day necessarily. They were just making objective decisions all the time.
Yeah. Right?
I don't necessarily think, obviously that is supremely problematic, as absolute power will corrupt, absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we've known about life so far, but I think maybe there's something to that idea that being divorced a little bit from all this shit and not giving a fuck is probably a good way to look at things, you know what I mean, these days.
Well, look, that was the call for Bloomberg, and that was the call yeah. for Warren Buffett and those guys years ago, where yeah. they were like, man, we need somebody like that in there who doesn't care and just will make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's I think it's, we got kind of part of that with Trump, but
yeah,
he's also like, he does that behind the scenes a lot, but he's also, you know, insecure and petulant, and he says a lot of stupid shit, so you got to put up with that part too. But it is interesting to think about someone being completely divorced from all that stuff and not react, because right now both sides of the political aisle are kind of trying to prey on people's emotions, like how you feel about things, right? That's mm-hmm. that's what the sentimentality factor means. Now if you can, as an individual, as a voter even, divorce yourself from the idea of that bullshit, then you start to see things objectively. There's social market economics is still a thing, right? There's only a demand for stuff, or there's only this stuff only exists because there's demand for it. The only reason that Q is popular is because there's demand for it.
Yeah.
The only reason the fucking riots and all that shit are popular in some circles is because there's a demand for it. If there wasn't, if people just looked at actual evidence and realized that 67% of all gun deaths are suicide and not homicide, making it a mental health issue clearly, then you can actually make decisions based on that evidence. Right now, we can't do that. So it's really interesting to me about how the individual can process that kind of information. Like, how do you, as somebody who definitely has a vested interest in how things turn out because you're a human being living here and you have children and all this other bullshit, you own property they have to pay taxes on,
yeah,
and blah, blah, blah. How do you as an individual divorce yourself from all that emotional bullshit that's going on in the news right now and just make objective decisions? I think it's hard for most people to do that.
It is, and I'll say this, man. I mean, just being fucking real, like, it's easier when you're poor. Because, and poor and single, to be real with you, because you're not worried about a family, you're not worried about kids, you're not worried about a wife or your house or whatever. You know, you're worried about your apartment, what you're going to eat that day, and whatever drugs you're going to take, and that's kind of it, right?
Yeah.
I did not start paying attention to politics like this until I had a family and everything else, when shit really started to matter. To me, you know, house mortgages and all that other stuff. Like, I just didn't. And I think that's, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, they always say you turn into your dad or whatever eventually. Right. partly that's true. Personality traits are different, obviously, but I think the mindset of taking care of your family and then looking after your finances and make sure those finances are going to the appropriate places after you die and everything else, like, that's what matters in politics to me. So, like, me personally, it's always finances first, right?
Right.
For a president, and then jobs, not only for myself, but my friends and family, and make sure everybody else is happy and healthy and all that stuff. But those are the first two I go to, and I'm willing to put up with some of the bullshit that Trump says. Mm. Because I believe in the end, he's probably doing the best things for me and my family. Which, shit, man, you would ask me 15 years ago, I wouldn't give a fuck. I would have been like, hey, dude, I'm going to Baja Fresh today. Probably getting high.
Yeah.
And on a Sunday.
I mean, that's, you know? I'm probably going to do that today, to be honest. Well, I've definitely achieved the high part already. But is there a Baja Fresh around here? I don't know.
No, it's in LA. It's an LA thing. And I love their burritos, and I don't care that it's a chain. I'm proud of it. Everybody takes pride in their taco and burrito places.
Speaking of
here.
Tacos, burritos, and being high, so Brittany, Jesse, and I are working on this show called Baked.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a cooking show where the three of us make stoner foods.
That's funny.
We're going to start shooting that here pretty soon.
MTV tried it. I don't know what happened. They had a weird host.
MTV is just weird in general.
It's dead.
Yeah.
It's dead. But if you're alive out there, you should get a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Finest mattresses in the land. You can sleep like a little tiny king every single night. So if you're a member of the military, a first responder, work in the government, or a teacher, you get 30% off forever. Everything in the store, all of it. Keychains, t-shirts, mattresses, adjustable bases, pillows, sheets, hats. I don't even know if they have hats. We got personalized hats once, but everybody stole them. Mm. I don't know where they are. If you're a regular dum-dum like myself, you get 30% off of all bundle packages. So you can bundle all that shit together and then click down to the bottom of the screen where you'll see a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And that's where the real magic begins. Because, shit, if you sign up for that with these deals, you're looking at like $38 a month. And you reach. You can sleep like a little tiny king. Well, it's Halloween. Sleep so good, it's scary. Sleep so good, it's scary.
I want to fold myself up in that thing like a burrito.
Yeah.
Can Ghostbed make a bed that'll roll you up? Instead of folding, it just rolls you
close.
Up?
They got a new bed called the Matrix. I don't know what it is, but somebody ordered it the
other
day.
I want to sit on it like sideways.
Yeah.
Lie down on the sideways. That's how I want to sleep. I want to sleep like a fucking burrito every night. Like just wrap the fuck up.
Like a hand roll. Like a sushi hand roll. I'm in. I get it. Next up, we got the SCOTUS confirmation. She's in here. They've tried to throw the kitchen sink at this woman, but I believe today is probably going to be the last day of hearings.
Yeah, there's witnesses today, and that'll be it. I mean, it may carry over tomorrow, possibly, but
this is one of the fastest ones in history, and I think it's a testament of how smart this woman is and unflappable.
And also, she just did a Senate confirmation 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's
so yeah. We're good to go on this. Cory Booker went yard. Kamala Harris, she zoomed in. And which I thought was odd that they kind of patched that in, you know, from a Zoom call. Turns out half of her staff has COVID and she's had to shut it down. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I didn't.
It happened a couple hours ago. So she's going to be off the campaign train for a while. And that's not good for the Biden campaign, clearly, for the rest of this shit. And then you had the Senator Mazie Hirono, who asked if she'd ever requested sexual favors or sexually harassed or assaulted anyone. This was simply an attempt to invoke some of that Kavanaugh shit and bring into the question of the Republicans' credibility. It's a weird question for a woman to ask another woman, I thought.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah. Then she got into it with her. I don't know if you saw this about the sexual preference thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was outdated.
Merriam-Webster actually made a notation in their new dictionary because of this event right here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They put possibly offensive under sexual preference now.
Is that where we're at? Are they doing, they're fucking up the dictionary now?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, Brave New World, isn't it?
Have
you guys read Brave New World?
Probably not.
Like, they start removing words from the dictionary and shit like that. I mean, it's kind of what we're doing right now. Like, and there's some of this stuff is just weird. I mean, some of it was obvious. Like Cory Booker asked Barrett if she believes every president should make a commitment to the peaceful transition of power. Now, all he's doing right there, that has nothing to do with her being a judge, by the way.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. All he's trying to do right there is get Trump's nominee to say something bad about Trump.
Yep.
So they can make a soundbite out of it. That's real cunt behavior. But Cory Booker is a piece of shit. He's a cunt, man. Let's be real about it. He's one of the biggest pieces of shit in Washington because he's got a lot of power as a pretty smart fucking black dude that's well respected in the government right now.
I thought he was going to be Biden's VP, to be honest with you.
I did as well, but it couldn't have been a dude. But all he's done is fucking completely become everything that's wrong with DC. He is a complete piece of shit.
He's all in. Even the Rosario Dawson relationship was a shame.
Then some of the stuff, like I said, was just weird. So he asked Barrett if she would denounce white supremacy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how many kids Cory Booker has. I assume they're black if he does have any, but I know that Amy Coney Barrett has 2 black kids.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure she's not on the fucking white supremacy train. Fuckface. Holy shit, man. God damn it. Amy Klobuchar said some shit too, but I couldn't find what she said, but every time I see her, she reminds me, like, if there was a video game where it was like Donkey Kong, but Karen's, she would be the final Karen boss.
Yep.
She would just be standing there with one of her hands on her hips and the other one on her phone getting ready to call 911 on you. Yeah. That's what she is.
You know, it's funny, man, because of her and everything else that's gone on in Minnesota, that's why, because everybody was like, man, why did you pick Minnesota to go red? And I was like, man, in this next election, I was like, I think the people there are just fed up with all of the bullshit. You had the riots. You have Amy Klobuchar. You have Ilhan Omar. I think people are just sick of the fucking bullshit there. And that's why. But look, you're not stopping this woman. She's going to be there for 40 years. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, Hillary Clinton only won by like 1.5% in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People, for some reason, have this idea that Minnesota is like a super liberal place. This is not true. It's a purple state and has been for a very long time.
Yeah, that one's up for grabs. And I got it going red for those reasons. Like,
yeah.
A lot of businesses were destroyed there.
I think that whole area, like a lot of it falls on Whitmer, right? But I think she's poisoned the well for Democrats a lot in that whole area.
I do too. I think I got Michigan is red too in this election.
Kamala Harris, who you know zoomed in, I think she might be the most or the least like woman in America right now. Like it's either her or Casey Anthony. It's one of those two. For sure.
Toss up.
People do not like her very much. She suggested that Barrett would destroy the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a question. Why would that be a bad thing? The Affordable Care Act is bullshit.
It's terrible. But what they're worried about is the pre-existing conditions thing, right?
I don't care about any of that shit. And it's not because I don't care about fucking... We haven't had an honest discussion about health care in this country. What we have are discussions about health insurance. The Affordable Care Act is not a health care program. It's a health insurance program.
Right.
That we know is rife with bullshit. It's so loaded with pork. Here's what we know. We know that... To get an aspirin, right, is $14 in the hospital right now. To get a Tylenol, it's $29. Like to have, there's a fee that they charge you for the nurse to hand you the drugs.
Yeah.
Like there's all this weird shit, right?
Yeah, she's earned it. When you hand something to someone else, they usually charge $6.
The IV bags they have that are full of like, that cost, I think the production cost, Dakota Meyer told me yesterday, is $6. They charge $800 for that. There's all this weird shit. So the Affordable Care Act said that your rates would go down. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They said that you would keep your own doctor. That was a lie.
Right.
Like we know that was a lie now. Even PolitiFact has to say that's a lie.
Shit. Yeah.
It was supposed to protect people against bullshit. Did nothing to quell the fucking absolute ravenous thirst that Big Pharma has for fucking money. They don't care about anything other than money. And we're still fucked. 83% of all bankruptcies filed by private citizens in the United States are filed because of unpaid medical expenses. 83% is because of this one thing. And the left had the supermajority. They were able to pass the Affordable Care Act. People like Pelosi said we need to pass this bill so we can see what's in it. Here's what was in it. Nothing. It was bullshit. All it did was shift some money from here to over here. And the candidate who... first began this march in 1994, Hillary Clinton, by the way, takes more money from the big pharmaceutical industry than any other political candidate in U.S. history. So when somebody like Kamala Harris, who's probably the most disingenuous person in politics right now, zooms in because her crew apparently wasn't safe enough,
right?
Like as Donald Trump is getting fucking railed for doing his job and he gets COVID, right? Her whole staff has got it. Nobody says shit to her.
Yeah.
Fuck that cunt. Anyways, she's got the audacity to come in and fucking pretend like the Affordable Care Act is a good bill while people are getting butt fucked in America. I mean, it's unbelievable that this is the case.
It is. And look, it's only going to continue. When you have 330 million people living in a country and trying to get everybody on the same page as far as healthcare goes, when everybody's got their own shit going on. And then there's some of us who are, you know, who are COVID survivors who can just beat it, like me and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, we're survivors, and I didn't need a doctor.
Do you ever sing that song?
Every day, every single day I wake up.
What song am I talking about?
I'm a survivor. I'm gonna. Thank you, Georgia.
Is that Beyonce?
Thank you, Georgia. Yes, it's Beyonce. It is Queen Bey.
Queen.
Yeah, it's Queen to you. Yes, Queen. Yes.
I just want to have a conversation about bills right quick. You ready for this?
Yeah, fire away.
So the same woman that wrote All the Women's That's Independent or however that song goes.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Beyonce?
Yeah.
The Single Ladies?
Here's the bills hook. Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Can you pay my automobile bills? Ooh.
There we go.
If you did, then maybe we could chill. I don't think you do, sir. You and me are through. So that's the same woman that wrote, I'm an independent woman, but now there's some caveat that I have to pay her bills to even hang out with her.
To hear Red,
I want a little bit of consistency.
That song was also written probably 20 years beforehand, too.
Maybe by some other person, yeah.
Yeah. Beyonce doesn't write her own music, so.
Well, of course not, but that was Destiny's Child.
Yeah, well.
She wrote all that music.
The child wrote all that music. I don't know what Destiny did. I don't know what Destiny
she
did.
She stripped.
Ah, that's what she did.
Does sound like
that's what she did. Kids, we're spending about 11 to 13 hours in front of screens all day. Now is time to get FelixGrayGlasses.com/drinkingbros. Mm-hmm. Damn. These are one of the kind. They're so one of a kind that every time we are here, they're stolen from the fucking studio. Did those goddamn girls take them again? Like, what is the deal with that?
I don't know. I haven't seen any Felix Grays around here.
Jesus Christ. Every time Tiffany comes into town and Jesse's here, they take the Felix Grays and we never see them again. Real shit. Real talk. homie to homie here, survivor to survivor. What they are is a specially patented lens that blocks out the blue light from your computers, TVs, iPhones, fucking Pornhub. It especially works great with Pornhub. You put these glasses on, you're good to go. It saves your eyesight. I write a lot. Some say way too much. I've also got a book that's coming out on pre-sale Monday morning, so we'll talk about that next week. But I live with these goddamn things. I typically wear them at night and not throughout the day, mostly because of the fact that, look, we've been doing the show five years at this point, and if I threw on a pair of cool, trendy glasses, you would think I'm an asshole. I'm not. I'm just trying to save my life at night.
Well, I mean, I want to talk to the people out there that are...
All the single ladies?
No, definitely not that. I want to talk to the people who are pounding off enough, watching enough pornography, that it's starting to affect their vision.
Yeah.
And not in the grandma told me whatever kind
You'll
of way.
You'll go blind.
Because, yeah. Look, I mean, for years, I thought that was true. And here's why. Popeye, right? Huge
sure.
forearms, fucked up vision.
Yep.
The guy that I identified most in the cartoons with, until I was like 11, then it became Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, let's be real, because I started doing drugs.
Drugs, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, man, I feel like if you're watching enough pornography that it's starting to affect your vision,
yeah.
I want you to write us a letter and tell us exactly. just give me
what
like,
it is. Let us read it live on air.
Like
and we'll
two
send
paragraphs?
You, yeah, we'll send you a free pair of Felix Gray glasses.
Send me two paragraphs and then send me a couple links to the type of porn you're watching. Because I don't know that pedestrian pornography would do it for you if you're watching that much.
No, it's got to be wheelchair porn. Yeah, you got to go Governor Abbott wheelchair porn.
I think maybe it's like it's very sophisticated. Like you're on the set of American Gladiator and they're shooting those tennis balls at you while you're
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. Hammer the like button if you're watching on YouTube. But look, if you write us your story and say that you lost your vision, get a doctor's note, something from the optometrist.
We'll get you a dog.
I was watching too much porn and my vision's all fucked up. We will send you a free pair of Felix Gray glasses from felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros.
Yeah.
They get a million styles, and if you need a prescription in those, throw an extra 20 at them and they're good to go. Best in the biz. And they get, what is it, a 30-day guarantee, 30-day money back? Like, for if you don't notice a difference, fucking ship them back, dude. FelixGrayGlasses.com.
20 extra bucks for the
drinking bros for the prescription, yeah. Dude. Look, these guys are the best. Hopefully they're with us for a very long time. Mm. This is, again, one product that always gets fucking stolen from us.
It is.
Ghislaine or Ghislaine.
Is
or
it Ghislaine?
Ghislaine Maxwell is back in the news. Now she is appealing the Second Circuit to review a judge's order to unseal sworn testimony related to Epstein, including an April 2016 deposition from Maxwell and a deposition by an Epstein accuser. Maxwell, who's only 58, attractive Dan or not? This looks like Giorgio's dream girl, by the way. 58, Ghislaine?
I mean, I can't really get down with the kid pedo nature of everything.
But if you, let's say she didn't have that and she was just a fucking woman with a boat at 58, that's kind of your jam. That's what
I picture with the mega yacht and the island?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I can party.
Yes,
I can party.
That's exactly who I picture
you
with.
Yeah, aside from all the rape of children.
Yeah, if you get
that's the line for me.
Obviously, it's everybody's line, but I'm just saying physically as a person, like that's who I see you ending up
clearly
with.
Not hers.
Okay. So she has said negative publicity from the disclosure of intimate, sensitive, and personal information from her deposition would violate her rights against self-incrimination and imperil a fair trial because jurors might hold it against her.
Right. There's a form. There's an old deposition from her and one and several from Epstein, right? That she feels if they were given to the jury in this trial, that it would fucking incriminate herself because it's her deposition. Well, you made a deposition to the authorities under oath, fuckface. What makes you think that's not going to be admissible in court? Like when you fucking put your hand on some book and say shit, apparently people take it seriously.
I guess.
You know what I mean? I don't know what the fuck she's thinking. And the audacity of her after assaulting young girls for years and setting them up to be raped by rich old men. to believe that her rights are being violated at this point.
Man.
God damn, dude. I've never, this is like LeBron James asking for fucking, I want my respect. Like,
my
dude,
respect.
You're like in the conversation for best of all time. You got the respect, dude. Just shut up and move on with your right. life, you insecure little twat.
She's in the conversation of worst of all time, and there's nothing you can do to stop that at this point.
No, and I'll say this again to the Justice Department, if you're out there listening, I believe they do watch
the
show.
Yeah, the DOJ watches.
Whatever deal you got to make with her, go ahead and make it. Find out every last name of every last asshole that either fucked with a kid or allowed it to happen or, you know, facilitated it happening some way. Get all those names out of her. And when it's all done, make the deal. When it's all done,
yep.
Walk into that room, burn the deal in front of her, and shoot her in the fucking head on live television. And if anybody tries to come after you for that, I'll be there.
Let's go pay-per-view. We'll have Dana White do it. That would be a great undercard for McGregor Poirier. Yeah. To be honest with you, Ghislain getting blasted after releasing all those names. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd like to see that. Maybe just like put her in stocks and then peel her skin off or something like that. This woman should suffer
something
for as long as possible.
The Braveheart disembowelment, whatever you want. That's fine. Yeah. And you would work up a thirst, you know, watching something like that. You
get pretty dehydrated.
Yeah, and you should hydrate with liquidiv.com. Best promo I've read in my life. There's nothing like going from a disembowelment joke and skin peeling to one of your favorite sponsors, liquidiv.com. Best in the biz. I'm drinking it right now. I have this all day long. Dude, Jesse and I did a super fucked up show this morning, and one of the guys from Liquid IV was in the chat, and he was just like, hey, man, what were we talking about? It was super fucked up. And they were like, Jesse's like, well, they're in the chat right now, so...
You're talking about the guy that plays for little kids.
Plays for little kids. Oh, Blippi. Yes, Blippi. Yeah.
Oh, the guy that shat on...
another gay, another gay man.
I don't understand why the Harlem Shake thing was like 60 years ago.
It was. So now this guy is a huge, like, he's kind of like the Mr.
Like a
Rogers
children's entertainer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was doing diarrhea videos with actual diarrhea into another man's asshole.
What happened here? Did he get fired and did this happen? Or obviously,
no,
if he still
was trying
had a job,
to make videos go
now.
Viral and he was a comedian. And I will say this.
Wait, this is from way back in the day?
Yeah, it was like 2013.
And somebody finally found it is what you're saying.
BuzzFeed did.
Ooh.
And so
his career is over then.
No, it's not. It didn't make a dent. And he kept being who he was. And he just said, look, I made a mistake in my
20s.
When
did this come out?
To be fair, 2013. To be fair, I thought the video was hilarious. And I support Blippi in that video. It was a really hard, aggressive cut in the edit on that, and I thought it was hilarious. So I will continue to let my kids watch Blippi. However, I will now have a secret for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
until they're 18 years old.
I can't find it on his YouTube channel.
But the way that he was diarrhea-ing all over the place, he should hydrate. He should go to liquidiv.com and hydrate. It doubles the hydration immediately. Because that was a lot of liquid coming out of his beehole. So you're going to put a lot of liquid in your mouth. This is no lie. So the homeboy was on in the chat earlier, and I was like, the only show that is not a sponsor for Ross Patterson Revolution is Liquid IV. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? I drink this shit all day long. And it's no lie. I have it in here right now. Because we're always drinking shit. Like, you and I are drinking Vizzy, and it's like, all right, great. I want to hydrate. I want to have a little bit of sipsies in the afternoon, right? Liquid IV, this is, I'm no lie, I will pound the table on this product because I fucking love it so much. And I requested them forever, too. I'm a huge fan of them. Drink this shit. It'll rehydrate you like that. If you drink as much as Dan and I do, there is not one morning that I don't have a fucking Liquid IV or the fucking afternoon these days. So I love it. Go to liquidiv.com, promo code DRINKINBROS, 25% off, which is a big boy savings there. And they've even got the vitamin C one, the nutrient one. That might be limited to their site. There's a bag of it right here.
I haven't seen it anywhere else. Yeah, it's really good.
It's
yeah.
right on the desk. It's that company rules. Again, man, there's so many companies I wish I owned stake in. Where if I was like Rogan, I would just buy this shit and call it a fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Kill Cliff, I fucking love. I don't know if they're on today, but whatever, man. We love the products on the show, so I really don't give a shit talking about how much I like them and enjoy them. Next up, we get Google.
Hey, wait a minute. Have you checked your Twitter lately?
The Googlers. Me? No, yeah. Why? What's on my Twitter?
I mean, nothing's on mine now.
What?
there's something weird going on with Twitter. People said that the Drinking Bros Twitter was down, but it's back up now. But it was down for a good like 10 minutes because I've been trying to get on it.
Hey, man. Look, I've said this for weeks now. They're doing a six-week fuckery with anybody who does like wild shit like us, especially that leans a little bit right.
Yeah,
it does not surprise me whatsoever.
By the way, Blippi was in the Air Force.
Blippi! Yeah, he's a veteran.
He was a loadmaster. I'm not kidding. That's what his job was.
Dude, come on, man.
He was a loadie.
He was a loadmaster.
Yeah.
Well, he was a loadmaster in that video he made for the Harlem Shake, dude. My God.
He pumped out some fucking loose cable.
That was a lot of fucking dookie juice coming out of there.
That first shot was pretty good. After that, again, I mean, it wasn't full-on Apple Milkshake, but it was pretty close.
It was pretty close. It was pretty close. Google. I just checked my Twitter, by the way. It's there, but it's strange, man. There's some shit that's hard to find. Even on my own Twitter, when I tweet something, I have to go back into the profile to see if there's any likes or anything on there. It's hard to respond to people. Clearly, it's shadow banned, and I really don't give a shit because Twitter's a hellhole, and I don't care if Jack dies in a fucking plane crash, to be honest.
No, that guy's a turd, man.
Google is censoring its users as well. It's also censoring its employees. Google employees have historically called the company out for a variety of issues, including building a censored search engine in China, working with the Pentagon, and how it handles various issues like sexual harassment claims. But there's apparently one word that no one is allowed to say over there, and it's antitrust.
Yeah.
Now, we have heard behind the scenes for a while that this was going to be the biggest October surprise.
Right.
That Trump was going to go after these guys. It's hard, man, because you need it to get your campaign fucking ads out there. So like,
yeah, I mean, but if you go like 2 or 3 days before the election, maybe,
or if you go right after it, after you win and say, "Hey Google, fuck yourself, man. You tried to steal this election from me."
Yeah.
But I'm surprised. They don't address it in emails. They don't bring it up in big company meetings. They are regularly. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that today. I've had a few. Reminded that Google doesn't crush, kill, hurt, or block the competition. And if you hope to land an executive job at the internet company, do not bring up the A word in the interview process.
I mean, this is not any surprise, right?
No.
But you may be asking how anybody knows this. There are compliance courses that they have to take at Google. And the legal department has been looped in. Like, they had to let people know that they're being spied on, basically. But the legal department is being looped into like innocuous emails, so they can apply attorney-client privilege to every email that goes through that company right now.
Right.
Which is like kind of fucked up. Yeah. To be honest, it wouldn't work in the long run. The government would fucking shut that down. But it's at the base level of regulators that don't necessarily have the prosecutorial authority or the investigative authority that somebody else might have, like the FBI, for example, won't be able to access this shit because of that. So it's just like a little hurdle for them to clear. And there's no written policy banning discussion of antitrust, but a former executive said that they come down like a ton of bricks on anybody that ever brings that up. Like, they've talked about all sorts of other stuff that had happened there. There was some sexual harassment stuff at Google. The way the company handled it displeased a lot of people.
Yeah.
Some of the other, like building that private internet that was for China that they could spy on all their people.
Mm-hmm.
People bitched about that. But this one, this is how you know what it's all about. It's all about money.
Yeah.
They don't care. They have no morals or any of that shit. It's just about money. They don't give a fuck about anything else.
That's it. And, you know, I think if Trump backed up the truck to these guys with a ton of campaign money, they'd probably look the other way, to be honest with you. But he's not spending what Biden's spending. No. So therefore, it's like, fuck it. You know, it's strange. I know they've had some meetings with the White House behind closed doors. I don't know what was said in those, obviously. But
who knows?
The whole fucking thing, man. These companies have got to become public utilities, and this shit's got to stop.
Yeah.
Because it's too big, man. Google and Facebook and Amazon and these guys are just simply too big at this point. So, again, not shocked by this whatsoever, but I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about it. And if you're at home and you're shocked about your life, bring it back down to normal. Get yourself a box of awesome. go to boxofawesome.com. Just cool ass shit for dudes, man. Take a little 5 questionnaire quiz. It tells you what kind of real man you are in this life. And then they send you products based on that. I've gotten a hatchet, a whiskey decanter. I got a Nancy Drew set and then a skeleton where they were like, hey, go bury this 400 yards from your house and then give the Nancy Drew stuff to your wife and have her look for a fake dead body.
I got a skeleton, but it was from Hamlet. And I had to pretend that my uncle was fucking murdered my dad and banged my mom and all this stuff. And then I just started watching family porn on Pornhub. Like, that's the natural progression, right? Hamlet started all this shit. Fucking kidding me? God damn it. With the Oedipal complex, and now we're all trying to bang our fucking cousins. And
yeah,
shit.
Dude. And that's, look, that's you what you're going to get at boxofawesome.com. Oh,
I forgot we were doing an ad read. That's right.
So that's all what you're going to get, dude. You're going to get a skeleton. You might even get half a monkey skull to drink out of. The beauty is you just don't know at boxofawesome.com. When it shows up at your house, you'll be just as surprised as if your grandfather's face was sewn to the carpet. You'll never know what's
in
there.
Let's say some of the actual things that are on there.
Drinking Bros is the promo code for 20% off your first box. And they got a subscription that is, look, I've had it for, fuck man, a year and a half.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like $40.
It's dope. Yeah, it's, I mean, luggage. There's a bag on there called the Weekender that's pretty dope. And they have whiskey sets. They have DOP kits. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. If you go onto the site and look at all the boxes and stuff they have on there as well. Not just the boxes, but the individual products. There's all kinds of shit on here.
There's a tit wear.
It's all dude stuff.
If you want to weigh one tit, just to see what that weighs, you know.
There's a hatchet. Curious. There's actually this whole set.
I've got the hatchet, by the way.
Yeah, there's this whole set that's all like rustic looking, like wood handles on everything. Not just hatches, but like there's a set of headphones that have wood on them and stuff like that. I don't know. It's pretty dope.
It's best. It's be best, dude. It's boxofawesome.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off. Your wife's getting her bullshit. You might as well get yours, dude. That's what I say to her. Whatevs. The first big story that is hit from Trump's declassification of all the documents related to the Trump-Russia investigation. According to a 94-page document given to Fox, the FBI relied on news reports from Yahoo and Mother Jones in an attempt to corroborate allegations put forth in the salacious and unverified dossier authored by ex-British intelligence agent Christopher Steele. Now, this all started with a fake dossier about Trump paying Russian prostitutes to piss all over a hotel bed that Obama had slept in.
Right, yeah, and none of it. Hey, this is so fucking funny. Because this has actually happened to me in real life, and I'll tell you that story.
You were in Russia?
No.
Okay.
This scenario has happened to me in real life, and I realize how stupid it is. So I'm going to walk you through this. So Yahoo and, yes, Mother Jones.
This is the first time we've ever used Mother Jones as a reference.
Mother Jones show. They're like, God, what is that fucking this something report? It's like a super lefty magazine that's been around for a very long time.
Okay.
It's a pretty popular publication, but Mother Jones is basically like the Breitbart of the left.
All right.
Like there's no denying exactly where they're fucking landing on any issue, right?
Yeah.
So sources familiar with the document state, this 94-page document state, it was used in an effort to figure out which Steele allegations that the Bureau meaning the FBI could corroborate. The now declassified spreadsheet further revealed that the Bureau had little corroboration of the claims included in the dossier that Steele gave them, that I believe the Hillary Clinton campaign paid for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So sources familiar with the document described the Bureau's actions as over-reliance on public reporting and became circular, and you'll understand what that means here in just a second. So basically.
Yeah.
Basically. Michael Isikoff, the Yahoo CEO, right?
Yep.
And David Korn, who's the fucking, basically the CEO of Mother Jones. I don't know what his actual position is, but he's editor-in-chief or whatever.
Cornhole. Yeah, that's what they're calling
it is. They co-authored a book in 2018 titled Russian Roulette, The Inside Story of Putin's War on America and the Election of Donald Trump. During this process of writing this book, they were in regular communication with Christopher Steele, right? He was feeding them the information from this dossier that he had. And the FBI then went to Yahoo and Mother Jones. Remember, their two CEOs are writing this book and talking to Christopher Steele every day to corroborate what Christopher Steele was telling them in a different conversation. So there was never any corroboration that ever happened.
Right.
Christopher Steele was telling two different people the same thing, and those two dumbasses were using each other to corroborate shit.
Yeah.
That's what happened. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's going to be one of those in 20 years where you look back at it and you're like, holy shit, why did anybody put this much importance or fakery into all of this?
This is weapons of mass destruction, stupid. This is Colin Powell sitting in front of the UN being like, this much.
Yep.
That's all it takes.
Yep. That's all it takes to blow up the whole world.
Which is true, I guess, but fuck, man, they didn't have that shit. So no. My story is way better. So this dude called me and was like, hey, can you get me a bunch of pills?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I guess. I don't know. I don't sell fucking pills, but I can call somebody.
Yeah.
And I called one of my buddies. He goes, yeah, I can probably get them. So he was asking the guy that asked me for pills. That guy was asking me and I was asking him and nobody had any pills. I'm just saying it happens. It happens sometimes.
It does happen. And
God damn it.
And it seems like they all stopped, corroborate, and then they listened.
Corroborate and listen, yeah.
Yeah. And that seems what it had. Last but not least, you're welcome for that, Giorgio. Did that one get you today?
Well, that got me good. I wanted to dance. I really wanted to dance.
Good,
yeah.
Good. That's all I wanted today, was just to get you on time today. Last but not least here, what kind of issues can you expect while voting this year? We've been looking over some of the requirements for the last few days for early voting and mail-in, and we saw some weird things that needed to be discussed.
Yep.
I can tell you mine.
Yeah.
Real quick off the top of my dome. Look, in North Carolina, they don't ask for ID. As a matter of fact, they're offended if you give them an ID. They don't give a shit, which they should. It seems weird. They're just like, no, just go in and vote. You say you are who you are and where you live, so you're fine. It was strange. Texas, on the other hand, I just voted last night or the night before, whatever the opening night was, right? Not only did I have to provide my identification, I had to mail in a registration card that I had to carry with me there. When they looked at my ID, they asked how long I lived here, where I was from, blah, blah, blah. Then they printed out a code. It was a 6-digit code, kind of like when you get texted for PayPal or something. Right, like, yeah. Hey, do you approve this charge? And then I got a sheet of paper with a gigantic arrow on it. And you go over to this like fax machine looking thing. You stick it in. You have to type in your code. Vote. Pull it out because it prints out for you. And then you have to put it back in another machine and then wait for this American flag to pop up to say that you had voted, right? And it was not easy, not as easy as you thought it would be. But I actually like that because then they could prove it was definitely me. And it took a relatively thoughtful person to go through the entire ballot and do this yourself. You couldn't just take a pen and be like, well, X. Like you had to go screen by screen and follow the instructions and actually vote.
I mean, that's a good litmus test. If you can't follow basic instructions, then your vote should not count.
I agree. The other part about it is, and I'll give you guys a heads up for everybody who is early voting or is voting in the election. We're not going to tell you who to vote for or if you should vote. That's your right as an American. Mm-hmm. But if you drive by and you see a long line, the reason for it is COVID, not because there is a gajillion people in that line necessarily. Yeah,
they're 6 feet apart.
I learned that the hard way. And I saw a line wrapped around the building when I went the first time. And I was like, oh, shit, I will never get in here. Everybody's crazy about voting. And then I came later on that night and I realized we all had to stand 6 feet apart. Therefore, there was only maybe 20, 25 of us and we were out the door.
Yeah, but even when you went there earlier, it was probably only 100 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. It's going to look... Right.
It's going to look a lot bigger.
This is not entirely true, but it's going to look like 6 times more people because you're taking up 6 times more space.
Correct.
Basically. I mean, it's the average depth of a human being is about a foot. Anyways, yeah, that's good information to know. And I hate to fucking even bring this up, but the fucking naked ballot thing is a real issue. Like people who haven't voted by mail before, like you fill out your fucking ballot. And then you put it in an envelope and you sign that envelope and you put it in a bigger envelope that ships through the mail because you don't want your signature to be on the outside as you're putting it through the postal service. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So that's what a naked ballot is, by the way. That is an important thing to know. But we can do that without getting on all fours naked
right.
with our fat, hairy ass hanging over the fucking back of our shoulder, Mr. Gadd.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Didn't need to see any of that.
No, no.
Although we did need to see Sarah Silverman's tits.
No, no one needs to see that either.
I was fine with that one.
If you want to see those, go to Google. Keep it off the fucking ads,
really?
Man.
She got nude before?
I don't know. Probably, right? You would think so.
She had Moabs on her. It was shocking. It was
Moabs.
Mother of all bombs. Those things were... They were fighting with her hands. She was trying to hold them back.
Well,
you know.
You know, I hope she won. I don't know what to say. There's actually weird shit that's going on in some places, too. Like, we all know about that shit that was going on in Minnesota. And for the third time in a month now, federal officers have found mail at a male person's house or in a dumpster near their house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who is launching these investigations or what led them to that shit.
I've
never heard of this happening before, ever.
No.
But all of a sudden now people are just throwing mail away. So that's kind of weird. I mean, maybe they
get rid of it.
I assume they probably have been doing this for years.
Probably.
But, you know, there's a lot of weird shit going on. One thing that actually Brittany pointed out to me is that in Michigan, one of the big things they're stressing is making sure you sign the envelope, which is, you know, seems simple enough.
Sure.
Per Michigan's site, it says, quote, if you forget to sign the envelope or the signature doesn't match the voter registration, the ballot is considered void and can't be removed or counted, but will be retained at the clerk's office. So that part in the middle about the signature doesn't match the voter registration. Under law signed last week by Whitmer, the signature will be compared to a digitized signature on the voter's file, but if one isn't available, the clerk can compare it to the signature on that appears on the application. Now, a lot of these applications, as you know, happen at DMVs, and you sign it on this little fucking electronic pad. And that, if you think, like, look at the fucking signature on your driver's license and tell me that looks like your signature first, right? So it's already problematic right there. Here's the other part. Some asshole making $10 to $14 an hour as a poll worker is going to, without any training, right?
Yeah.
This person's not trained in fucking forensic handwriting, motherfucker.
Yeah.
They're looking at these two signatures. No, hell no, man. I don't see it.
I see a lady signature there.
And allegedly, if they see signatures don't match, they're going to contact the voter immediately. No, they're not.
No, man. They're not turning.
Like, anything. Are we really? We're gonna hedge all of our bets right here by relying on the government to be competent for the first time in history.
Not a prayer.
They're gonna do it, man. They're gonna get that website out. We're all gonna get health care. Hell yeah, brother. Like, no, it's not gonna happen. You're out of your fucking mind. Jesus Christ, man.
Oh, you know who's not out of their mind is our drinking bro of the week. It is that time, kids. This one was submitted by Ian Weeks from New Hampshire. We don't get a lot of New Hampshires in here.
Yeah.
A member of Drinking Bros since day one. He is nominating Colleen Weeks. My wife, Colleen, is fucking dope. That's how he starts this off. She was there for me when my mom died. We were not dating. She's helped me through trials and tribulations for the better part of a decade. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be alive today. I took her to her first Marine Corps ball, and every Marine in my platoon tried to bring her home because she's hot as shit. This is his words, by the way. I can think of no better human on this planet than my wife. For every dark and wretched aspect of my soul, she counters it with light and grace. If anyone deserves to be nominated, it's her. She's literally and figuratively the best of both of us. She's a true blue Irish fairy princess who loves America and puts up with all my bullshit. She deserves this nomination more than I deserve to be alive. Hashtag America rocks out with her cocks out. Semper Fi. I love it. I love all of this, Ian. And I think she'd write a book of poetry.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, probably.
Now I get to see how hot his wife is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bold description there.
It is, yeah. I mean, but look, I mean, go hard.
Ian Weeks on Facebook and then give us an update on how hot his wife is.
Yeah, if you're going
to Ian, if you're listening, send us in a picture and let us know how your wife
is. How do you spell his last name? I'll look her up.
Weeks.
Ian.
Weeks, yeah. Her name is Colleen Weeks.
Colleen, that's a fucking, it doesn't get more Irish than that. Jesus Christ. Does it say where he's from?
It says he's from Dublin, Ireland. Totally
no,
kidding.
Like, where does he live?
No, New Hampshire.
Oh, New Hampshire.
The Hamp.
Let's see.
The Dirty Hamps.
Not that
the
one.
The Dirty Hampers.
We're never
going to
find it. It's going to take too long. And I'm
it will, but
mad.
Somebody else will. And let us know if Ian was lying or not. And let us have a quick peeksies at Colleen Weekes, because that's a bold statement that he made, you know?
Well, it wouldn't
he
be.
He said every Marine wanted to take her home and have sex with her.
Yeah, but I mean, every Marine. Yeah. Pay more attention to the front half of that sentence than the last half. Because I've seen, no offense, Ian, and I'm sure your wife is lovely, but I've seen what Marines will do if they're just bored, much less drunk at a ball. Okay, let's be real about that.
Oh, thanks for tuning in with us, kids. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Please subscribe on iTunes and give us a quick review and a 5-star rating on there. That's what helps move us up the charts, by the way. It is not actual listeners. It is reviews and new subscriptions and all that other shit. Subscribe, unsubscribe. Click all of the things. Apparently, that's what everybody else does, and we're just learning about this.
Yeah.
Because we have, like, millions more listeners than, like, 90% of the shows ahead of us. But they're just, like, out-reviewing us. So please, go and leave a review on iTunes. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.